at 808 FM Talk 106.5. Mobile Mornings, Thursday South. Sean Dalton, Dr. Bill Kane with traffic. Kelly will be back with us soon. And your phone calls, we'll take those right now. 343-0106, 343-0106. And hopefully, our buddy Rob Holberg joins us at 8:30. We'll talk with him, Rob, with Lanyap. And I want to point something out because it's just loading up on the podcast page. So we talk about Captain Bobby's fishing report, mm-hmm. right? The inshore. It deals with more the inshore world of this. One of the most popular items in our podcast universe for this radio station. In addition, we also do an offshore report with talk about the blue water fishing. Do that with Blake Michaleski from the Mobile Big Game Fishing Club, brought to you as well by HMS Marine Electronics. That post up through our, well, you can get it through our Facebook page for the Outdoors Show. So it's facebook.com/FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. You can also find it on the podcast page as well as listen to it as we replay that on Saturday mornings from 7 to 8 when Mike Ward and I host FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors.
Yeah, and here's an extra little life hack if you like the sports and outdoors shows and the podcast that Sean uploads when you talk about the inshore and offshore fishing reports. If you go to our website, fmtalk1065.com, click on that Sports and Outdoors tab at the top of the page, and that has a listing of every single, the newest episodes of every sports and outdoors show that we have, and also those fishing reports that Sean does every week.
Yeah, so those, I mean, we podcast all the tons of live local shows we do a week here that air here on terrestrial radio and streaming. Then we make them available in podcast form. And then in addition, there are some extra features like this one that air just through our digital platforms. And so it's there's a lot of stuff out there, a lot of content every week. We have talked about this before, and it's one of the things that makes me happiest with what we've done here over 9 years. Yeah, that's right. We're 9 years. Yeah, 9 years. What we've done over 9 years is all the local shows that we do here, all the content that you can get nowhere else, not just repackaging other content. And we make it available to you so you can get it live. You can get it online. You can subscribe to get those shows. You can check out the shows when you want on demand. If you want to go back and listen to a show at a time more convenient, we do that as well. So I appreciate all the people. And what makes it worth doing all this, because it's like putting together a whole other radio station for Dalton, like 90% and 10% for me. But when we see the numbers of y'all that use those platforms, that makes us happy.
Oh, yeah, so, definitely.
So keep it up. Thanks, man and gals. All right, let's see. A couple items on the list today, national and local, and see which way we'll go with this. And I know that Rob Holbert, did we get confirmation? Let me go to the high-tech.
He might be still worn out from the busy Lanyap week last week.
Well, we'll see. No, he says he's doing it.
Okay,
8:30,
good.
8:30.
All right.
Be on with us. All right, very good. And some of the stuff we'll talk to him about. But on the national level, President Trump yesterday, big day for President Trump. And I know it was in the mid-afternoon when the president called a impromptu press conference in the Rose Garden, which, by the way, too, this is, as soon as I say this, I know that it'll end up being wrong. That's the way fate is. But generally, the majority of the time, you can tell the kinds of announcements and pressers are going to happen by where they call them.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all watch this. When there's something announced for the Rose Garden, right, when they're going to do that, it's always like it's a rah-rah. It's a good news.
Yeah, and lately it's been good international news as far as diplomacy with other nations.
I didn't even think about it's even more narrow.
Yeah.
You think that it's Rose Garden equals, I've always said Rose Garden announcement from whatever president, Trump or Obama, Bush, whomever, would equal like good news.
Mm-hmm.
Rose Garden kind of has that vibe. But now you're saying good news and it's narrow as international good news?
That's what it seemed like over the last few months.
No, you're right. I can't, what you said is resonating.
Even with when Obama was in office, remember the big Bo Bergdahl announcement?
Yes.
Bringing Bo Bergdahl back to America, and he had his parents out there. That happened Rose Garden.
Yeah, give me a second to respond if I think that was good news or not, but that's a whole
It was initially thought of as good news.
Yes. Yes, it was. All right. So I want to get into the announcement. So what happened yesterday? So the president said, hey, y'all, I'm paraphrasing here. Hey, y'all, come to the Rose Garden. I got something to tell you.
Be there in 10.
This is why I could never be employed with national news groups and stuff. Did he just say, hey, y'all, come to the Rose Garden? Yeah. That's what I said. As the president talking about tariffs and where tariffs have led us in his negotiation, President Donald Trump yesterday.
We will therefore work closely together with like-minded partners to reform the WTO and to address unfair trading practices, including intellectual property theft, forced technology transfer, industrial subsidies, distortions created by state-owned enterprises, and overcapacity.
All right, so what he pointed out is who wins and who loses yesterday as the president announced an agreement with the EU on tariffs in an effort to dial back what had been the escalating trade feud. The president said, "We agreed today, first of all, to work together towards zero tariffs, zero non-tariff barriers, and zero subsidies on non-auto industrial goods." Let me say, to me, that is the promised land. How I've been contrary to a lot of folks out there on the president's push for tariff. I said, I hope it's just a negotiating tactic, because what I would like to see, believe me, I'm not naive enough to think it would get there anytime soon, would be a non-tariff world where everybody competed in a generally, there'll never be a truly free market except in your textbooks, but where people competed, countries competed, businesses competed, and the best vehicle to deliver that service or good wins.
Yeah, even
that's the most efficient way to do things.
Even if it's impossible to get to that, it's a good goal to shoot for.
That's right, you got to have goals. So the president said that yesterday at the Rose Garden as he stood next to European Commission President Jean-Claude Juncker. He said, "We will also work to reduce barriers and increase trade in services, chemicals, pharmaceuticals, medical products, as well as soybeans." And then he, true Trump style, "Soybeans is a big deal." It's so good. Soybeans. Yes, that should be on a bumper sticker. Soybeans is a big deal. And the European Union is going to start almost immediately to buy a lot of soybeans.
It's all about the soybeans.
It's too funny. I mean, I wonder if, and I'm glad he said what he did. And coming from, you know, the ag background I do, I'm glad he said what he did. But I do question whether, do you think, not that he has to, before y'all jump on my case here, do you think Donald Trump could identify a field of soybeans or a actual soybean after harvested?
I'm going to go with a no on
Yeah, I'm
going
to go with a no, too. President also indicated that the United... But I, Lord knows, that's not his job. Trump also indicated that the U.S. will be able to enable the European Union to import more liquefied natural gas, or LNG, from the U.S., as well as begin a dialogue on standards meant to reduce barriers to trade. As part of the agreement, the U.S. will move to end some of the retaliatory tariffs relating to steel and aluminum. President tweeted his excitement over the agreement, tweeting, "Obviously, the European Union, as represented by @JunckerEU, so that's the guy we're just talking about, and the United States, as represented by yours truly, love each other." Just a day before, Trump tweeted, "Tariffs are the greatest." Remember that when I reacted to "Tariffs are the greatest"?
Yeah,
it's not.
That was like 48 hours ago.
Right. Juncker echoed Trump's description of their meeting and said the EU would hold off on further tariffs as they work with America. Now, the agreement comes amid backlash, both domestic and abroad, to multiple issues caused by the impact of tariffs on steel, aluminum, and $34 billion in Chinese imports. Many of the retaliatory tariffs other countries have implemented have impacted President Trump's political base. China, Canada, and the European Union have hit back with tariffs on a range of agricultural and industrial products, including some that have caused companies to move production overseas. So there's a little bit of the Rose Garden discussion. Now, was that the whole enchilada yesterday when it comes to international trade? No way. But was it a good first step? And I think a definite win for President Trump? Yep. Yep. And he also got a chance to tweet that Juncker... He and Juncker love each other. So that is some kind of bromance here. EU Commission President Jean-Claude Juncker and Donald J. Trump love each other. So put that up on the school board. Right, 8:21, FM Talk 106.5. This is Mobile Mornings on a Thursday. Glad you are here. Rob Hulbert joins us shortly. Got lots to talk about with Rob. Let's go to the phones, though. Let's see. Who goes first? Chuck in Mobile. What's up?
Hey, good morning to you.
Morning.
I just wanted to sound off about the opioid thing.
Yeah. But let me take a second to the people that weren't listening earlier. Let me tell them the quick headline here. And that was this study that came out, Harvard University looking at opioid use rates. And out of their list, two areas got to the top of the list. Number one area, they took congressional districts. Now, I don't know why they gerrymandered it this way, but they did opioid prescriptions per capita per congressional district. AL4, the congressional district that's south of the Tennessee River, Robert Adderholt's district, has like Colbert County and Lauderdale County in there as well. I think a portion of Limestone. So that area, 166 prescriptions for opioids per 100 people. And then down the list, like at number five, I think, was AL1. That's us in Southwest Alabama, with 133 prescriptions per 100 people. So this is what Chuck's talking about. All right, Chuck, I just wanted to set that up.
Yeah, I was going to say the average in the country, 67 prescriptions per 100 people.
Wow. All right, Chuck, so that, with that backdrop,
I deal with an orthopedic doctor every 2 months. And this stuff is so tightly regulated right now that those studies are either exaggerated or they pulled them out of the garbage can somewhere.
Well, they're 2016, it says here, so they're a couple years old, two years old.
Okay, well, a couple of years old makes a lot of difference. That's not what's going on right now. But that's not what I called about. This wrenching down, this clamping down on these medications is hurting people that benefit from these medications.
Right.
They're not taken into consideration. They just threw a net over the whole thing, and it doesn't matter who you are or what you're dealing with. You can't get a prescription for more than a 10-milligram tablet now.
Now, do you take an opioid painkiller?
I have to. If I don't take an opioid every 6 hours with Neurontin, which is generic for Lyrica, I couldn't even get out and walk. And I work, sir. I work 10 to 12 hours a day on my feet. My legs hurt all the time, and that's not what I called about.
Okay,
what I called about is that there was a time when I could get the proper amount of this medication so that I can have some quality of life. But now that's just like going in and just being somebody. I've had more MRIs. They've told me I got stenosis and L3 and degenerative disc all the way down from there. And I'm telling you, it's a problem. I got two torn rotator cuffs, and if I don't take something, I just can't move.
Well, Chuck, that stinks to have to deal with that. And listen, I'm not unaware what you're talking about. And through this whole process, number one, my personal rant has been, I'm scared of this because it's just like antibiotics. The fact that I have, only taken antibiotics at very few times in my life, I stay away from them. And also painkillers, because someday I'm going to really need them, mm-hmm. and I want them to work. And I got to tell you, Chuck, let me just put it in Sullivanese. I don't want to get ripped off here when I have a surgery later in life and I need to have pain medicine, and I was the good person that didn't abuse stuff and I can't get them. Yeah, I mean, I hear what you're saying, but it still doesn't discount the fact that there is a problem in this country. I mean, that's the problem. Listen, I have family members right now. I have been very, very frustrated when one very close family member, when she had a major, major surgery, and they really were very, very tight with the pain medicine,
mm-hmm.
and, they were hurting, and I gotta tell you, I was mad. I wanted to make them stop the pain for that person. So there's a problem. And Chuck, I hear what you're saying. I mean, there's a problem of like you said, throwing the baby out with the bathwater, that you get in this. The pendulum always swings. Here's the problem. We're never in the middle politically or in laws. There's not enough law for something in some people's opinion. So then we got to get a law. And then it swings too far one way. Then it comes back. And what happens is you're constantly left in the lurch, either it's too restrictive or not restrictive enough.
Yeah, whenever a law is passed, regardless of what that law is, or whatever national emergency has been declared, like Trump declared opioids a national emergency last year, someone is going to come out for the worse on the deal.
Yep.
And it's got to be so hard to balance that, because no one can argue that there isn't an opioid problem in America. I mean, just think of all the stories over the last 5 years of people dying either from mixing the wrong medications.
Oh, and this fentanyl stuff.
Or mixing alcohol with some of these opioids, or when they're not able to get these prescribed opioids anymore, turning to the streets and ending up shooting fentanyl when they think they're shooting heroin or something. Yeah. There's so many deaths we've heard about. Where is that balance?
I don't know. That's a tough thing, because you just said it. There is a problem, but at the same time, you tighten things down. You force the addiction. Mm-hmm. The addicted people go somewhere, and then it's hard for people that aren't addicts. They're just trying to get treatment.
Yeah,
to get it as well. But you can't deny, like you said. I mean, there are people dying. There's abuse issues going on. So what do you do?
Yeah, for every Chuck out there, and I feel so bad for Chuck if he's not able to make it through the day without these medications, and he's not able to get the medications like he was able to. But for every Chuck out there, there's a family who's lost a teenager or a young adult because they were overprescribed something that they didn't need initially, and then that took them down the wrong path. So there's awful stories on both sides of the opioid debate.
You mean things in life aren't always black and white, that there are shades of gray?
That's starting to be what it looks like.
You don't say. That's not a popular opinion in talk radio, but it's kind of one that I see here. All right, let's go to Robin in Baldwin County next. Hey, Robin.
Hi.
Hey.
I actually grew up and lived most of my life in northwest Alabama, where those studies was conducted about having 166 per 100.
Right. Where were you up there?
I lived in the northwest corner of Marion County. I went to school and lived and did most of my social life in Franklin County.
Okay.
And when I went to college, I lived up in Lauderdale County and Colbert County.
Yeah.
For
I know it.
About 10 years.
So that's this where, and y'all, what Robin's talking about is this study showing District 4 having the worst, but District 5 wasn't much better off, and District 1 down here, it followed us down here. It's we're number 5 on the list.
The study that they conducted, I think it was Harvard did the mm-hmm. study. They did not take into account that area of the state is the number one highest rate of cancer patients in the state, and it's top 10 in the nation.
And so you think that contributes to the 166 per 100?
I do. And also, it being from a low-income family, there was a lot of people that were depressed, the job and money, not having money and being able to do. But there was a different quality of life down there, up there. You know, just the rural life, laid back, relaxed. And I think it was a state congressman or something that said something about, you know, people could turn to drugs because...
Yeah, that was
of the
Adderholt, I think.
Issue.
Yeah, Adderholt.
Well, I totally disagree with that.
Really, because that's often been the idea, like for West Virginia, they've talked about the abuse there, and so you don't think it's true in that area of Alabama?
No, but I do know also that, we had neighbors that grew pot, and we also had neighbors that had moonshine stills. The biggest issue up there was drinking. And most of the counties were dry when I was there. Lauderdale was in Colbert County, were not, but Franklin and Marion County were dry counties. And there was a lot of bootleggers and stuff like that.
Well, there's some serious stories of legend from back in that area over the years. Robin, I appreciate the call. And by the way, with what you just said about the cancer thing and all that, I don't know if you're a music fan, but band from up in your backyard, their Drive-By Truckers, has a song, Putting People on the Moon, talks all about that. Check it out.
11. Hey, thanks, Kane. 836 now on FM Talk 106.5. This is Mobile Mornings. And right now it's time to head over to McConnell Automotive, talk to the sales manager, Brian Gardner. Hey, Brian.
Hey, good morning, buddy.
Tell us what's going on at McConnell Automotive today.
Yeah, I still have the percent play going on right now. And what that means to you is easy math, y'all. We've got 18% off Buick Encore right now. Also 12% off the all-new Buick Enclave. As well, and GMC land, we don't forget that. That's our bread and butter. We've got 15% off GMC Sierra right now, and if you take advantage of our courtesy transportation Sierras, we've got even more savings there, close to 20% off. Also have 15% off GMC Terrain right now. That's the SLE trim. Fantastic savings on that. That's going to get that price point in the mid-20s for you. That's going to compete with some used car prices for a new Terrain. Goodbye and see us before 7 o'clock tonight. One other thing I forgot. We do have 10% that just got announced off Sierra HD. So you're looking for a diesel, we are the place to get it. Come by and see us. We're there to serve you before 7. Look forward to doing it.
All right. Thank you, Brian.
Man.
Take advantage of these deals today. Go see Brian and the crew at McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65.
Right, 837 FM Talk 106.5. It's good to see this guy. Well, I saw him and then get to talk to him. Usually we just talk to him, but I got to see him on Friday night and get to talk to him right now. Rob Holbert with Landyap. Hey, man.
It was good to see y'all. We were having our 16th annual Nappy Awards.
So. Your Nappy Awards can drive now.
They can drive. If it was a 16-year-old girl, it could drive or date Roy Moore.
I knew you had to do that. You watched the presser yesterday? You watched the Roy Moore presser?
I did not. I missed that one. He's going to see some more people. But, good luck with that, Roy.
Well, I'll say, okay, I'm going to, like always, in my attempt to make everybody unhappy with me, number one, I say good for Roy Moore because following through. Quite often there's a big hubbub that I'm being attacked politically, you know, during a campaign, and then afterwards it all goes away on both sides, and you kind of, so he's still continuing with this, which I think is a check in his column. But the other side of this is, this can't go on forever, and this is not going to change the outcome of what happened. And to be frank with you, I mean, he obviously has a better hold on the law than I do, but It's. I mean, you and I deal in this world of, you know, libel and slander and all that. And I don't know. He's going to have a hard time making a case.
He's in. We can get into a whole large libel slander discussion about this, but his chances of recovery are minimal.
Yeah, there it is. And of course, he can recover money into his legal defense fund. He can recover that. Yes.
Yeah. It's. I mean, I find that it's a big waste of time, but. He can do it if he wants to.
Hey, by the way, too, I want to, you know, I know y'all have tackled this before in Landyap, and I don't know if you heard the stats we were talking about from that Harvard study. Some of the callers and texters have talked about, hey, there's nuance to that because of cancer cases or people, and I get that. Sometimes these are ham-fisted numbers, but it is pretty spooky when AL4 has 166 opioid prescriptions per 100 people, AL1 has 133 per 100 people. I mean, that's... Can't be everybody needing them.
No, and I think it's just what, you know, kind of what you said. The pendulum swings one way, swings the other. And, you know, I mean, I remember probably about 8-9 years ago going to a doctor who had nothing to do with, I just mentioned my back hurt to this other doctor who was completely away from that. We were there for something else completely. And he said, oh, let me write you a prescription for some painkillers. And, you know, I thought, no, I don't need those, but. He was pretty quick on the draw.
Yeah, and so
now
it was
the opposite. You know,
yeah, that's the problem.
Yeah,
that's the problem. It should be, hey, how about we give the people that need it, they get it, and the people that are abusing it don't, and they get treatment.
Well, when you saw those the pain doctors out on Spring Hill who were arrested and ended up going to jail, when their place was closed down, the lines of people there who were going through withdrawal and mm-hmm. were there for medications after that was closed, you know, it really told the story of how many people are addicted.
Big time. Big time. And, and it's a subject that we'll be talking about for quite a while. All right, I want to grab a couple of headlines here from the world of local politics and get your reaction. Did you have a chance to watch the actual provisional ballot counting on the Facebook Live on Tuesday? Did you see that from the probate court?
No, I didn't.
I wish I hadn't
you
watched it.
You missed out, Rob.
Yeah, I watched it. It was a slow process. But they were counting ballots here down to the last one because you had a question in the House District 102 runoff for the primary, and it was down to 25 votes favoring Satsuma Police Chief Stringer over Willie Gray. And they needed to count up the vote. They got to 13 and 16 and gave it to Stringer. So that part was solved, but there was then a whole other part of the story that came out. And what was that?
Well, I think there were another 25 votes cast in one of the precincts where the precinct was, I guess, some part 102, some part a different district. And so people were given the wrong ballot. Yeah, the issues that really happened in this, and you know, there were no malfunctioning machines. It was none of those things. All these things boiled down to human error, and frankly,
ignorance.
But you know, the Secretary of State's office has put a lot of the blame on some of this some of these crossover issues on our board of registrar's office here, and they've really kind of been quiet about it. They didn't want to say anything about it, but you know, a lot of these things, when you're tracing it back, people were saying, okay, I voted Republican, and somebody somewhere entered in that I voted Democrat. And so when I went back for the runoff, it's saying you can't vote.
Data
entry mistakes. Yes, that's exactly what they're saying. So that's where a lot of this stuff's coming from, is just simple data entry mistakes.
Well, okay. But the other part of this, and this split precinct we're talking about, I think is interesting, because if you don't vote at a, I do not vote at a split precinct, but if you don't, you probably don't know about these, where you could go in and have, you know, I mean, basically people are used to going to their polling place. They're either going to get a Republican ballot in a primary or a Democrat ballot, right? They're going to get, everybody gets the same thing. Well, in these couple places in the county, part of the people voting there could vote in one thing that the others couldn't, and they handed out the same ballot to them. It seems like there's got to be a check and balance there, that if I look at your ID and you're on this list, then you get ballot A, and if you're on this list, you get ballot B. You know,
right.
And the fact that somebody, this is what scares me, that nobody is, well, you might be talking about it, but that nobody noticed that, who was voting in it, that they weren't in 102, but they would vote in 102, that they would still fill something in, even though they're not in that district. It seems like there should be a red flag, and people would say, yeah, I don't get to vote in this.
Yeah, you would think that people would know what district they're voting in, but and especially in a runoff, you would think they would know what district they're voting in. But
they didn't.
You think that when you go up there and say, I live at 103 Elm Street, that there would be a list that says, no, you vote in district such and such,
right.
So you get this ballot. Yeah, and so, yeah, it's all kind of screwy, and it, again, goes back to just human error, and also, I guess, as you said, ignorance, or just a lack of paying attention to know what district you're in or what you're actually voting for. So, I mean, a lot of it just, you know, if you're alert as a voter and you understand what you're doing, and somebody hands you the wrong ballot, you say, well, wait a minute, I'm supposed to be in such and such, and that would head that off of the path. But then the poll worker also probably, you would think, should know that this part of town votes in that district. You know, so it's really, a lot of it is just not preparing very well and human error, and people not really paying attention.
I haven't told this story on the air. This will be the first time. This was something that occurred during the primary that was told to me by one of the candidates. That candidate said they had a person contact them at their campaign office frustrated that they had not been able to vote for this person, and they had tried to vote for this person on the primary back in May. They had tried to vote at three different precincts for this person. Let me point out, number one, that the person trying to vote was not in the area to vote for the, I'm going to get more specific because I don't want to give away the race, that they were not allowed to, they didn't get to vote in the first polling place, second polling place, and third polling place, where they were not on the list because they did not live in that area to vote.
Yeah.
And this person contacted the candidate. They were so enthused about supporting the candidate that they went out to vote, and they felt like they had been disenfranchised because they were not allowed to vote, even though that person was not a resident of the area they were voting for.
Well, I mean, that's kind of like getting excited about somebody that's running in Pennsylvania and driving up there and trying to vote. I mean, you can't vote outside your district. You can't vote in races that you don't live in that area. So that's just the way it is. You know, I don't. And they could fill out a provisional ballot if they wanted to. They could go in and say, let me fill out a provisional. And then they could feel like they voted, and then they'll look at it at the end and say, this person doesn't live here. And then they'll kick it out.
Right. Right, and this was, I'll say this, and without getting any more, this was not nuanced. This was pretty big. All right, can you hang on for a second? Can we run the news break? All right, we'll come back because we've got so much more to talk to Rob about. By the way, lanyapmobile.com, the website, plus the new Lanyap out on the streets now, and he'll detail the cover of the new Lanyap. Also, we'll talk about, get ready, we'll talk about the bridge. You know that meeting in Foley the other night where they said, yeah, probably $2 billion gig, and the toll could be between $3 and $6. We'll get Rob's take on that, too, when we return. 851 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. Glad to have you along. Sean, Dalton, Dr. Bill, Kane with traffic, and we'll get right back to our conversation with Rob Holbert from Lanyap. Heads up, if you're trying to save money this summer, I would suggest if you're saving money anytime, you start looking through your budget where you might be wasting. What are you paying for an interest rate on your credit card balances? Averaging 18-19% now, and obviously going up as interest rates are going up all over the board. So what does that do to your monthly budget, right? I got a solution for you. How about refinancing with a credit card consolidation loan from Lightstream? It's an easy way to save hundreds to thousands of dollars and lower your interest rate. Lightstream offers credit card consolidation loans from 5.89% APR with auto pay. Lower than average credit card interest rate, obviously, by a whole bunch, 13-14%. And this is, listen, this is not some kind of scam or some kind of, here's what they do. You got to have good credit, okay? Lightstream believes that people with good credit deserve a great interest rate and no fees. So they take the people out of the mix that have good credit, those of y'all that have bothered to have good credit, and they reward you for it by giving you a better rate. You're taking what is a pool of a lot of risk for those credit card companies and going into a high-graded group, right? And so you drop from that 18, 19, 20% to 5.89% APR. Say goodbye to high-interest credit cards this summer and start saving with Lightstream. Y'all can save even more with an additional interest rate discount on top of Lightstream's already low rates when you go to lightstream.com/my last name, Sullivan, S-U-L-L-I-V-A-N. And their website, lightstream.com/Sullivan. lightstream.com/Sullivan. Get the deal, get the extra discount as well on your interest rate. Now, subject to credit approval, rate includes a 5.50 auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com for more information. All right, continue our conversation with Rob Holbert from Lanyap and the new Lanyap out on streets now. One of the subjects that people can read about there, and that is the bridge. What bridge are we talking about?
Well,
is there a bridge?
The bridge nowhere. The bridge over the Mobile River.
Troubled waters.
The bridge over the River Kwai. Is it ever going to happen, bridge? One we've been talking
graffiti
about for
bridge.
Years now.
Graffiti bridge. Yeah. There's another one, graffiti bridge. I'm just trying to come up with all the bridge titles. Okay, so what was it? Tuesday night over in Foley, you had that presser there with Aldott. They said the project between the bridge and the rebuilding of the Bayway, $2 billion, and then they said the toll could be between $3 and $6. I could see the torches being lit and the pitchforks being sharpened.
Yeah, I mean, I would imagine. This is just my thought process that there would be some sort of a pass or whatever, a fast pass thing for people who live locally and they travel the bridge a lot. That would be significantly cheaper than that. And that $3 to $6 would be mostly on the backs of the people from, Louisiana, Texas, Florida that are coming through. But, that's what the cover, our cover story is about to a degree. It's about the congestion in Baldwin County on the beaches. There's efforts to build more condominiums. People saying we don't want more condominiums, but the people down there saying, look, they bought their land, they can do what they want. But it brings more folks. If you drive around down there, which I did this weekend, went down to the Press Association Awards, and I just thought, man, you know what? Those days are gone where I used to jump in the car and say, I'm going down the Gulf, and I'll be down there in 45 minutes. It's over. Those are gone.
Yeah, which, by the way, y'all cleaned up down there. Good work.
Thank you. Yeah, we did. We had a nice weekend there. We got a lot of good awards.
Yeah. Y'all cleaned up. It was pretty impressive.
Thank you.
Okay, and you make it, for comedy's sake in your column, in your editorial, Damn the Torpedoes, the people are jumping off a perfectly good bridge because it's so stalled. Now, in that case, the dog. Just save the dog.
He had enough. Clearly...
the dog jumped off.
I think I know why he did it.
The dog has had enough, so the dog jumps off.
He looked at it and he said, I'm not staying up here on this bridge for another half hour, 30, it's dog years for him, so time accumulates more quickly. And so he just...
I'm losing years here.
Yeah, it's like 7 hours for him to stand up there for an hour, you know. So
no thanks, I'll swim.
Yeah, gators, I don't care. I'm going to jump in because it's not worth staying on this bridge. But here's the problem, okay? If they started, and who knows if they start today, because I've been told 2019, and then this presser the other night, they said 2020, completion by 2025. And I'm not cynical just to be cynical. I'm cynical because I've been given reason over time. The 2025 seems pretty ambitious for a class. So I mean, we're still a long time away from getting this done.
What was the big dig in Boston? What did it take, 25 years or something like that?
Yes, yes.
You know, I'm not saying this is the big dig, but this is a big program, and nobody has suggested. I've never heard anybody suggest that they could get this done in 6 years or, you know, anything like that.
And what will that mean to traffic? I don't want to scare everybody, but when they start to replace the Bayway, and maybe they have a plan to do it right next to it and then join it together, they probably. But what does that mean to traffic?
I mean, my understanding is the thought would be to widen the Bayway to add another lane on each side.
But they've told me it's different.
I think, you know, do they build it from the outside? I don't know how that works.
No, they're raising it though. That's the thing. RAISE, not RAZE. They're going to put the new structure at a higher. And people pointed on the text line. I agree with them. I don't know one storm we've had where the Bayway has been compromised with storm surge, but they're going to raise it higher. So, I mean, good. Listen, I want things to move forward. I'm just wondering, is this really going to happen?
It's going to be something incredible to do. And, I mean, I've often said that, you know, if I were living in Baldwin and thinking about driving back and forth to Mobile during the process of building a bridge, it would just have to be ungodly. Just from the rubbernecking alone, the traffic is going to be unreal, you know, and it's getting worse all the time. Anyway, we've waited too long on this. I mean, there's just no doubt that we've waited way too long on this. It is, you know, it's gotten to the point where, you know, as somebody says in our article this week, one of the developers says, well, it's not as bad as Atlanta down here. And I'm like, well, that's not really a bar we should aspire to.
And also, we have, 5.5 million fewer people than Atlanta.
Right. But, you know, it's like the bar should not be as long as we're not as bad as Atlanta, we're okay. I think that, you know, the point is that if you get people, as people come through our area, people from other areas know now that Mobile is a terrible traffic situation. And, you know, those folks are coming through, and you're going to have damage to your, you know, the tourism industry, those things, among other problems. But I mean, for the people who live around here, getting back and forth across the bay has already become a difficult situation. We're, you know, we're right on Government Street now, and I can see the traffic backing up, you know, especially Thursdays and Fridays. I mean, by 2:30, 3 o'clock, there's traffic jams in front of our office.
There it is. All right, we're up against the end of the hour, but I want you to remind folks where they can pick up the new Landy app.
You can check us out. They've got a couple of surfers walking down the beach on the new Landy app, and it picks up at 1,400 locations, Mobile, Baldwin County. You can also get us online at landyappmobile.com. And if you don't want to drive across the bridge for that Landy app, you can have it mailed for $1 a week.
There it is.
Rob, go online and sign up for home delivery.
You're saving, you're helping the traffic issues here locally, and I appreciate that.
The roads are full of people driving the Mobile to try to get a lane. So we need to stop this. We need to just get the mail. Mail it.
There it is. There it is. Rob Holbert with Landy App. We appreciate it. We'll check back with you next week. And we're coming back at noon today for Midday Mobile, and Laura Ingram Show is on the way next.